And I'm going to read from the New International Version. That's Luke chapter 17. And taking the story up in verse 26 and following. That's Luke chapter 17 and taking the story up in verse 26. And Jesus is speaking about his second advent. And this is what he says. That's Luke 17 and verse 26. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. So reads the Word of God. Now, in our scripture reading, we find our Savior talking about his return, his coming back to this world. And he told two stories. He told about Noah and the flood. So Jesus believed that the flood was an actual event that took place and that the earth was destroyed by it, and it was a disastrous experience for humanity. And then he tells the story about Lot and the story of his destruction. Now, Lot in the Bible comes to our attention with Abraham. And both of them were very wealthy men. Lot was, like Abraham, rich in silver and gold and in large herds and flocks. He had camels, goats, sheep, and other animals. And because the possessions of Lot and sheep were so great, there was an argument about the shepherds who looked after the sheep. And so they began to fight. There's not enough grass. So Abraham said, look, Lot, there's plenty of room. You can go this way or that way. You choose. And so Lot said, well, to Abraham, you can go that way, and I will go this way. And this was a very fertile plain. And he went where the four or five cities were, and one of the cities was the city of Sodom and the other one of Gomorrah. And then a strange thing happened, that three angels, they're said to be angels, but one was Jesus and two angels, and they came to visit Abraham. And they came to visit him because Abraham had just instituted for his family circumcision. And for men, it's very painful. And so Abraham was sitting outside his tent one day, when three angels came, and they talked to him. And they explained to him that Abraham was going to have a son. And then two of the angels went away. And the third angel, who was Christ, stayed. And he said to Abraham, I'm really not happy with the situation in Sodom. And I've come down to investigate, and I've sent two angels. And it was bad news for Abraham to find that in the city of Sodom, where he knew Lot and his wife and daughters were living, he wasn't very happy about the idea that the city would be destroyed. So he said to God, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And God said, no, of course not. Well, Abraham said, look, if there's 50 people there, would you spare it? I said, of course. Then he said, would you 45 and 30 and 15 and then 10? The Lord said, if there's 10 righteous people there, I will spare the city. So Lot, who knows nothing about all this, is sitting at the city gate in the city of Sodom. And if you want to follow it, it's found in Genesis chapter 19. And there we find the two angels who left our friend Abraham now have come to the city of Sodom. Now, Jesus, when he told the story about Sodom, he said, "Remember Lot's wife." And I wondered why he said that. I think he should have said, "Remember Lot." Now, why do I say that? Remember Lot rather than Lot's wife. I mean, after all, Lot is the central character in the story, not his wife. Lot himself is the central character in the story. But Jesus doesn't say, "Remember him." Why not? Well, let's look at the story here in Genesis 19. It says, "The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up and bowed down before him and said," look, he said, "come and turn aside and come to my house and have a meal. And you can wash your feet, and then you can spend the night, and you can go off away in the morning." And the men said, no, we'll sleep in the night in the square. But Lot said, no, he insisted. He said, "You come and stay at my house." So they did that. He made them a meal. And then we find here in Genesis 19 and verse 4, "Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house." Can you imagine it? What a surprise for our friend Lot. You could imagine, I don't know if you've ever had a crowd of people come to your house unexpectedly. One time I had about 90 people come to my house. I didn't think they were coming to my house. But when they all arrived in the area where we lived, I was curious. What are all these people doing here? And Lot must have been quite surprised to have all these people from the city gather around his house. And notice what they said to him. They called Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can abuse them." Just imagine that. Here is this man, Lot. He's given hospitality to these two people. And now the men in the city say, "Bring them out, and we will abuse them." So Lot goes outside, and he said, "Look, no." He says, "No, please." He says, "Don't do such a thing. Don't do such a thing." He said, "Look." He said, "I have two daughters, and you can abuse them, but leave the men alone. You can abuse them, but leave the men alone." Well, it doesn't speak very favorably of Lot. In fact, it speaks very badly of him. What kind of a rascal would say, "You can abuse my daughters, but leave these strangers alone"? What kind of a man would do such a thing? Hello? What kind of a man would do such a thing? Sorry? An evil man. A frightened man. You'd have to be very frightened to do a thing like that, wouldn't you? Anyway, these men said, "No, you bring out these men to us." And then they said, "This fellow came here, a rich man, he sat at the gate, he thinks he can lord it over us." And that tells us something about Lot. Rich man in the city, sitting at the gate, very wealthy. So the problem is solved by the two men. They come and they afflict the citizens of Lot with blindness. And so they can't find the door to Lot's house. And then these two men turn to Lot. And this is what they said to him. It's in verse 12 if you want to read it. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you?" And actually, they're wondering to find out, are there 10 people here in this city? They said, "If you have them, get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry of the Lord against his people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." So eventually the penny drops with friend Lot. And so it says in verse 14, "So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters, and he said, 'Hurry! Get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city.' And his son-in-laws thought he was joking." They thought he was joking. I wonder what made them think that. Do you think that Lot wasn't really earnest enough? Or as Cor would say, he wasn't awkward enough? He wasn't powerful enough? Anyway, they laughed at him. They laughed at him, thought he was joking. Can you imagine it? They thought he was joking. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law, and they thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry! Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, and you will be swept away when the city is punished. Get out quick. This is serious. Very serious. Get out quick." And then it's a wonderful story. It says in verse 16, when he hesitated. I wonder why he hesitated, John. I wonder why he hesitated.
Because
he couldn't believe what they were saying. It wasn't really going to happen. It wouldn't really happen. Said not going to be destroyed. He hesitated. Well, these two men grabbed hold of him and the hands of his wife and his two daughters, and led them out of the city. Notice, Lot himself hesitated. He didn't believe it would happen. And the angels grabbed hold of him, his wife and his daughters, and took them out of the city. And then they said to him, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back. Get out of here as quick as you can and as far away as you can." And then it says, Lot said, no, don't ask me to do all that, please. He said, "Look, you've been very kind to me, but I can't go to the hills. There's a little city here called Zoar. Let me go there." And so the angel said, "Okay." And when Lot reached the town of Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Just to pick it, all this has taken place early in the morning, and then the sun rises up, and Lot is in Zoar. And then he looks, and what he sees is, the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew the cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. What a story. What a story. An intelligent man, a rich man, with no need. And then it says, his wife looked back. His wife looked back. And she became a pillar of salt. Now, the ancient historian Josephus says that Lot's wife was coated with salt and sulfur, and that she was actually a statue, a frozen statue, like you find in Pompeii. He said that for years she was visible. That's just a story, whether it's Jewish tradition, whether it's true or not. But I'd like to ask you a question. Why do you think that Mrs. Lot looked back? Why do you think she looked back? Sorry? Yeah? Any other reason? Do you think it might be Mrs. King? Do you think it might be that her husband didn't give her a sincere and earnest example? Do you think he might have been the one who contributed to his wife, looking back? Now answer the question. Do you think he may have been the cause of it or contributed to it?
I think he would have contributed.
Yeah, thank you. Well, whatever happened, that's the story. It's a terrible story. Dreadful story. And then, of course, Lot himself now has gone out of the city, and he finds himself now in the little town of Zoar, with no money and no prospects, and two daughters. And then his daughters say, all the men of Sodom are gone. And then they behave in an abusive way to their father. And that's all we hear of Lot in the rest of the New Testament. Don't hear a single word about him. Just the little story in the early chapters of Genesis. That's all. But it's interesting that Jesus knew about the story and believed in it. And he drew a parallel between his coming and Sodom and Gomorrah and the world in which we live. But the point is, why does Christ draw the comparison? What do you think, Eric, if I may be so bold as to ask you? Why do you think that Jesus tells the story about Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah?
Are you concerned that we might similarly lose confidence in his promise to return?
We might be like Lot. We might be hesitant. We might set a very, very dangerous example to those around us. In fact, we might not believe it. We might believe it will never happen. And when you don't believe it will happen, then you don't prepare for it. When you don't believe it will happen, you don't prepare for it. And if you don't prepare for it, you know what happens. We're destroyed. Now I ask myself the question, why did Jesus not mention Lot? Why did he not say, remember Lot, but said, remember Lot's wife? Why did he do that? Seems to me an interesting question, that Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, when she's only a peripheral figure in the story. He didn't say, remember Lot. So I think to myself, why would Jesus say that? Why would he neglect to say, remember Lot, and not his wife? Well, if you have your Bibles, you might like to turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. And you'll notice what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 2, of God, he didn't spare the angels who rebelled. It says, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and then notice verse 7, if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, living among them day by day, who was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. He says that Lot is a righteous man. Now, you just said a moment ago, what's your name? I forget you. What you said a moment ago, you said he was evil.
He changed.
That's right. He changed.
He had the chance to change.
Thank you. He changed. And you see, Mrs. Lot couldn't change. That's why Jesus didn't speak about her. Mrs. Lot couldn't change. But Lot could. And the story implicates, or suggests, that Lot repented of his sin. He repented of his sin. And God called him a righteous man. And that's a wonderful thing about God. That we may do very wicked things, yet if we repent, he forgives us, because Jesus bore all the consequences and we are free. But what is the message for you and me this morning? What is the message from this story for you and me this morning? Might it be that we might grow careless? Might it be because the event seems a far-off thing that it may never happen, or it won't happen immediately? Now, I'm not a prophet. But when I look out at the world in which we live today, I see the very things that our Lord described took place in the days of Noah, and which took place in the days of Lot. Now, when you see them, Jesus said, then know that I'm going to come again. And when I come, he said, be ready. Be ready. Now, it's very easy to get ready. I'd like to conclude by directing you to a text in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse 3. And it's in the form of a question. And the writer to the letter of the Hebrews says, how shall we be saved if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we be saved if we neglect so great salvation? I don't know if any of you ever neglect anything, but we have some people coming to visit us in June. And I have neglected, I've put it off now for about a year, to do some decorating. And if I don't do it before they come, it's not going to be very nice for them. So if I want them to enjoy the pleasure of our company and to sleep in a nice room that's decorated and fresh paint on the wall, then I have to attend to the problem now. I tell you, every night before you go to bed, you should kneel at your bed and be at peace with God. Don't neglect it. don't neglect it. Before you close your eyes, and Mrs. King, be a good example to your husband. Be a good example to your husband. And if that lazy man wants to get into bed, you say, no, you're getting down on your knees. Because it's important. It's important that you set him a good example. It's important that he sets you an earnest example. May God help us that we don't neglect our salvation. And Christ should come. And through our carelessness, we might be lost. Remember Lot. And now, as we go from this place, may the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the beautiful saving grace of Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the assisting grace and presence of the Holy Spirit be with us, so that when our Savior comes, we all may be ready. Amen.